The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I pay for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
All right. Welcome to a brand new week. Because, you know, around here we start on Tuesdays. We may change that up, but you know what? We're rewriting all the rules right now, right? I mean, everything is different now. Yeah. I hope you're faring well. I hope you're handling the social distancing okay. You're not eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much. Or maybe you are. It's okay. I mean, whatever gets you through the night, it's all right. Sounds like I could make a song out of that. Speaking of songs, we're not gonna wait any further. Today's funny to start the show. Applies to us all. It's a song. It's a bit of entertainment, and it's practical advice as well for those of us dealing with the coronavirus, which is everyone. It's universal. It's like, you know, death and taxes. It's something that we all experience together. So, again, a piece of warning. I start the show with a disclaimer every day. If offensive language bothers you, you may want to turn the volume down for the next 90 seconds or so, okay? Or embrace it. Sing along. Enjoy. Have fun. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? All right, take it away, old guy that I found on the internet. I don't know his name. That's laziness on my part. What I've been doing is posting all of these parody songs, the funnies, on the blog at NicoleSandler.com after the show, so you can go back and find the original. And if you're just hearing the audio stream, perhaps on Progressive Voices or on the podcast, you can see the video. This is an old, I don't know how old he is. He's a bald bearded guy sitting at the piano, singing this wonderfully helpful song for us. All right, take it away, bearded man.
Thank you to Chris Franklin for these lyrics.
Okay.
The world has caught a virus, so I've written you a poem. We need your help to cure it, so stay the fuck at home. And if you have got 12 kids or you're living on your own, lock it down and isolate and stay the fuck at home. If you think you're not at risk here, you're living in a dome. It spreads faster than a hooker's leg, so stay the fuck at home. I need the gym, I need the beach, I hear you bitch and moan. You need to grow a brain cell and stay the fuck at home. But I feel fine, I don't feel sick. I'll go out on my own. How thick are you, you selfish prick? Please just stay the fuck at home. From LA through to Berlin, from Wuhan through to Rome, there's people dying every day, so stay the fuck at home. If you need to contact family, use Facebook, Skype, or phone. We've got the fucking internet, so stay the fuck at home. The only way to slow it down is isolate, not roam. Please help the world get back on track and stay the fuck at home. Stay the fuck at home. Stay the fuck at home. Don't you be a fucking dick. Please stay the fuck at home.
Woo! Yeah.
Stay the fuck at home.
Yeah. Stay the fuck at home. Better, truer words were never spoken. I love that. Speaking of staying the fuck at home, we're home. I've been, practicing social distancing, spending a lot of quality time with Jackson since I can't go to the shelter. The animal shelter here in Broward County is shut. But the good news is they've taken everything online and people are fostering and adopting dogs. In some cities, a hell of a lot more, better people than in South Florida. They're clearing out the shelters. This is a great time to bond with a new furry friend. So anyway, there you go. All right, we'll have more comedy, but I want to move along today. So a lot of news happening. Again, I didn't do a show on Monday, but you know what? There's not a whole lot of news. It's all virus all the time. So I'll tell you what, we're not going to do it live today. We'll do the recorded version because I want to get through this quickly because I want to get to Gotta Laugh. It's Tuesday, so Laughy will be here. And we have a special surprise guest joining us today. So we will do What's News. Let me see. I'll put this on there. And so who knows if I may have to add something to the recorded version, but if not, well, we'll just, take it away. Magic of digital audio recording.
I read the news today. Oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The U.S. death toll in the COVID-19 pandemic surpassed 3,000 on Monday, with more than 160,000 confirmed infections. New York has more than a third of the country's cases, with 67,000 and over 1,300 deaths. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo put out the call for help.
As governor of New York, I am asking healthcare professionals across the country, if you don't have a healthcare crisis in your community, please come help us in New York now. We need relief. We need relief for nurses who are working 12-hour shifts, one after the other after the other. We need relief for doctors. We need relief for attendants. So if you're not busy, come help us, please. And we will return the favor.
In New York City, Chicago, and Los Angeles, leaders are establishing field clinics. Navy hospital ships have arrived in New York and Los Angeles to relieve overwhelmed healthcare facilities by treating non-coronavirus patients. In Illinois, officials plan to convert Chicago's McCormick Place Convention Center, the largest in North America, into a facility with room for up to 3,000 coronavirus patients. So yes, the U.S. Navy hospital ship Comfort has docked in New York City as the U.S. faces what could be its most difficult month in the pandemic. Experts worry that when the outbreak reaches its predicted peak in mid-April, more than 2,000 people could die each day. About 82,000 people could die in all in August, even with social distancing measures, according to one model cited by the White House. But there may be some bright spots in the dark days ahead. Hospitals in Northern California are cautiously hopeful that they may be seeing the first benefits of shelter-at-home precautions in the form of slightly less crushing surges of patients. Guess we'll take what we can get. House Democrats are eyeing an ambitious fourth coronavirus response package that they hope will include more direct payments to individuals, more money for state and local governments, and funding for infrastructure. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said if such measures aren't covered, the economic situation could get even more dangerous for Americans, even with the recently passed $2.2 trillion relief bill. For the second day in a row, on Monday at his daily reality TV time, Donald Trump pushed groundless speculation that healthcare workers are stealing or squandering protective masks during the pandemic. A reporter began to ask him in the Monday press briefing about remarks he made Sunday that masks may be going out the back door. Trump cut off the reporter, saying, "A tremendous power in the business." Allegedly, a supplier of masks had backed up his notion. All right, I got to interrupt here because this whole thing, 2 days in a row, he went off on this tangent about the masks must be going out the back door. Here's some of the back and forth from yesterday. I'm sorry. I know, look, I try not to play clips of Trump's voice, but every now and then he says something so completely fucked up that I have no choice.
You expressed some concern in the past that medical supplies were going out the back door and that perhaps some hospitals were doing things worse than hoarding.
Well, I expressed what was told to me by a tremendous, power in the
tremendous
business.
Tremendous power in the business.
He said that at a New York hospital. For a long period of time, he was giving 10,000, maybe maximum 20,000 masks over a short time. And all of a sudden, he's giving 300,000.
Yeah.
And
there's
I said, no matter how bad this is, could that be possible?
Yes.
He said, no. So there's only a couple of things that could happen. Is it going out the back door? And I've reported it to the city and let the city take a look at it. But when you go from 10,000 masks to 300,000 masks.
There is a global pandemic, you fucking moron.
Now, I'm not making any charges.
No, of course not.
When everyone's looking for masks, and by the way, that's another thing. We're making a lot of masks.
Oh, fuck
you. And the sterilization process is...
So you got the idea. He basically said, they're going out the back door. I'm not making any allegations here, but they are. I wonder what they're doing, because this tremendous person in the industry... Who told him that the syllable is on the second, the accent is on the second syllable in industry? It's industry, you fucking moron. Anyway, I digress. So he's like, I'm not making any accusations, but they're going out the back door. So Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, was asked about this.
The question is that the president suggested that PPE equipment may be going out the back
door.
First, there is a warehouse in Edison, New Jersey. It's the New York City warehouse.
Yeah.
We're creating a stockpile.
Yeah.
For someone to say, well, the warehouse has equipment in it. You should be using that equipment today. That defies the basic concept of planning.
Hello.
And the basic operation that we have to have working, not just in this state, but across the country. If you are not preparing for the apex and for the high point, you are missing the entire point of the operation.
You think?
It is a fundamental blunder to only prepare for today. That's why, in some ways, we are where we are. We've been behind this virus from day one.
That's Trump's fault.
You have the scientists and the data projections showing you a curve. The curve goes like this. You're over here. Prepare for the high point of the curve. And do it now. When are you going to do it? The night before? What am I going to tell the hospitals when they call up and they say, we just had an influx and we need more equipment and we need more ventilators? Sorry? So the whole stockpile concept is to prepare for the future. In terms of a suggestion that the PPE equipment is not going to a correct place, I don't know what that means. I don't know what he's trying to say. If he wants to make an accusation, then let him make an accusation. But I don't know what he's trying to say by inference.
Boom. All right. So that's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's getting lots of accolades these days. And a lot of people are going, he should be our nominee. Someone just said it in the YouTube chat room. Actually, no, he shouldn't. And we'll get into that tomorrow on the program. The reasons why, yes, Andrew Cuomo's doing a great job, you know, for not only New York, but the nation when it comes to COVID-19, when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic. But it doesn't mean we should overlook his history. He is not the right person to ride in on a white horse and save us. Nor is Joe Biden, but I digress. But tomorrow, we're going to get to that tomorrow. All right. Everything and more than you ever wanted to know about Andrew Cuomo on tomorrow's show. But today, back to the news. As you'd expect, a growing number of journalists are calling on the various networks to stop carrying these so-called briefings live.
Yes.
Trump is using them to quench his need for the spotlight and adoration missing with the absence of his rallies to feed his ego. And they're filled with lies, misinformation, and a continuing assault on the media. Enough is enough already. From the creeping fascism files, pay attention. Leaders of countries around the world have begun invoking emergency powers as they fight the COVID-19 pandemic. Israel's government has shut down courts and launched intrusive surveillance of citizens. Bolivia has pushed back elections, and Hungarian lawmakers have approved an emergency law giving the country's populist Prime Minister Viktor Orban the authority to rule as he sees fit, effectively suspending democracy in a European Union member nation. In the bad movie on which our reality appears to be based these days, this story is the very obvious foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Pay attention. Case in point, officials in Texas, Ohio, and Alabama hastily passed legislation banning abortions that they say are not medically necessary, claiming they had to be suspended to preserve medical supplies needed to address the coronavirus. Well, federal judges on Monday sided with the clinics and temporarily blocked the abortion bans and granted temporary restraining orders, blocking the policies pending court challenges. Iowa, Mississippi, and Oklahoma are among other states that have imposed similar restrictions to the procedure as the virus spreads. Oh, and Idaho is in on the action, too, where Republican Governor Brad Little signed into law two bills that limit the rights of transgender people, prompting outcry from LGBTQ and human rights advocates. One bill, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, bans transgender girls from playing on girls and women's sports teams. The bill makes Idaho the first state to pass legislation against transgender students, this according to the ACLU. The second bill prohibits transgender people from changing their gender on Idaho birth certificates. A federal court struck down a similar bill in 2018. And it's March 31st, Equal Pay Day in America. Yep, we're 3 months into 2020, yet this is how long American women must work into the year to earn the same salary as men did in 2019. Yay us. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I cannot do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. While you're there, please click on that donate button. All right. It is a busy, busy Tuesday, so let's waste no more time. Let's take it away, Lauren Mayer.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
I love we have our own theme song. All right. Every Tuesday, I get together with my pal, Laffy. And we shoot the shit about what's going on in the news, mostly gleaned from Laffy's Twitter stream, because it is very prolific. And there's always a lot going on these days. First, we got to get Laffy on the phone. So let me press these buttons and hello.
Yes, you've reached the Coping with the Coronavirus Pandemic hotline.
Okay, good. I didn't know I had that number, but... It's funny when I dial every week. It works. Okay.
You dialed in your sleep again. Mm. Press one if you think Bernie Sanders is still talking emphatically, but now he's wearing a latex sleeve on his pointer finger.
Yeah.
Press two if you think Jared Kushner is appealing to Jewish voters by wearing a surgical yarmulke.
He's hoarding them. Sorry.
What?
Hoarding the yarmulkes.
Sporting, yes. So press three if you
Hoarding.
Think pious McAskisser Pence is even socially distancing from mother in bed, which now makes that 32 years and counting.
Ew. I don't even want to think about Pence and mother in bed. It just, no.
I know, right?
No.
Ew. Okay, you want to get right to the Tweety Pie? Oh, by the way, Cuomo says he is not running for president.
I heard that, right.
And the Texas abortion ban is back on.
Is back on?
Yes, an appeals court said tough. I know.
All right.
I think it was the Texas one. I'm pretty sure it was the Texas one.
Yeah. Well, it's creeping fascism. I'm telling you, keep an eye out, because what Trump is watching all his authoritarian buddies around the world pulling this shit, you know, this is in his playbook. So just saying.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All
anyway,
right. So please, you let loose please. The birdies. Let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
So, Laffy, what are the Twitters buzzing about today?
Oh, they is buzzing. Okay, so I've got like 10 tweets. I'm going to really try to get through them.
Okay.
McConnell says that the Democratic impeachment push distracted the government from from the coronavirus threat, which is so stupid.
Because they so participated in it. Because the White House, this administration, spent a lot of time and energy participating in the impeachment trial. Oh,
exactly.
Wait.
And plus, remember that Trump gave himself an A. So
yeah, right.
Anyway, so Schooley said Trump gutted the CDC and killed the pandemic team 2 years earlier because he was distracted by his psychic vision of impeachment.
Yeah. Okay.
There you are. Yeah. I lost you for a second.
Yeah, I know I'm here.
You were away from the mic.
Yeah.
Okay, so Noah Finberg, I'm not sure how he pronounces his name. I've known him for years online, but I still don't know how to pronounce his last name. But anywho, so Yahoo Finance tweeted this quote from Ivanka. So we get to do Ivanka today. It won't be funny. I'm just doing the reading in Ivanka's voice. But her quote is, "When you think about businesses in America, a lot of people tend to think towards the big businesses, but the small businesses employ close to 50% of the American workforce and obviously are the most vulnerable from a cash flow situation." So Noah said, speaking of vulnerable workers, Ivanka, let me try that again. Speaking of vulnerable workers, comma, Ivanka Trump paid Chinese women just a $62 a week payment to make her handbags and sweatshops.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So Ivanka.
Ivanka.
Okay.
Fuck off.
That was my Ivanka one. Okay, so Simon Rosenberg.
Yes?
I had a whole thread, and I'll just give you one quote. Trump had his chance to lead us through the COVID crisis and failed utterly. And our buddy, twin mom Sue, said, "We are discovering that trickle-down medical negligence is having a much broader impact than trickle-down economics."
Trickle-down negligence. Oh, yeah, I'll go along with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that Trump's criminal negligence has trickled down all over us and is killing people. So I will go along with her, too. So I don't know if you guys saw the pictures or even the live shots yesterday when the big Navy hospital ship kind of rolled into the dock slowly.
Right.
And there were all these people crowded in taking pictures. I mean, just like total, like they're wearing masks, but yet they jammed in to take pictures and to watch. And as I watched it, I'm thinking the lack of social distancing at the site of this ship that is there because of lack of social distancing.
Wow. Yeah.
And then Jason McGrath chimed in. He is, he calls himself the pollster to the stars. And he says, "Don't worry, idiots. You'll be able to get a much closer look in a week or so."
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
That is the truth.
Okay. So I'm going to read you two tweets from Maxine Waters. And of course, I tweeted them with like congratulating her, saying, you know, you go and all that stuff. Well, for the last 24 hours, I have been swarmed.
Oh, boy.
By racist trolls.
Oh, of course you have.
Oh, my God. Swarmed. Anyway, here's the first one. Trump, this is from Maxine Waters. "Trump, stop congratulating yourself. You're a failure and you've mishandled this COVID-19 disaster. You're not knowledgeable and you don't know more than experts and generals. Your ignorance and incompetence are appalling and you continue to demonstrate that every time you open your mouth." I love that one.
Yes, that gets a ding.
The second one. Here comes the second one. Right. Ready?
Yep.
"Trump, you incompetent idiot."
I retweeted that one, yes. Go ahead.
"You sent 18 tons of PPE to China early, but ignored warnings and called COVID-19 concerns a hoax."
Yep.
"You've endangered doctors, nurses, aides, orderlies, and janitors, all risking their lives to save ours. Pray for forgiveness for the harm that you are causing."
Yep.
Ding.
Ding. Yeah.
I love the ding.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I love the ding?
Yeah. That deserves a ding or a double ding. It's so true. And you turn on those stupid, I hate to call them, you know, briefings, because they're substitutes for his rallies. They're ego boosting. I don't know what they are. They're masturbatory.
I call them
missions.
Trump ego briefings.
Yeah.
Trump.
Well, that's
ego
what
briefings.
They are. So yeah. You can only take them in. But I listen because it's my job. I feel like I have to. And yesterday, so Allison and I went out to pick up dinner. She ran in, got it. I didn't leave the car. And listening and he's going on and on about what a great job he's doing. And I'm sitting there just laughing because you gotta laugh. The alternative,
my next two tweets are about this very thing,
is to scream and yell and get, you know, but instead you just have to laugh. You look at him as the clown that he is, the orange clown that he is, and you laugh at him.
Well, to be honest, I won't watch those anymore.
No, I
just
blame
look
you.
At the live tweets and comment on them.
It's horrible.
So I'm live tweeting the live tweets is what I'm doing.
Oh, so you were live tweeting yesterday when he brings up the Mr. Pillow guy?
I'm getting there. Here I am. Phil Bump from Washington Post said, during the coronavirus briefing at the White House, the My Pillow guy just came to the lectern. Quote, God gave us grace on November 8th, 2016, to change the course we're on, he said. God had been taken out of our schools and lives. A nation turned its back on God.
Oh, God.
He went on to suggest that people at home with their families spend time reading the Bible.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This was what people are dying. Because of Trump.
Yep.
And because, of course, the virus. But Trump has been a significant enhancement.
Well, of course, his response to it, his lack, his lackadaisical, his belated, his slow, his irresponsible, his denial, horrible.
All
everything
of it,
about
all of
it.
His foot dragging, his mocking of it, his,
yep.
as you said, his denial, all of it. And so what does he do? He brings up My Pillow Guy. And My Pillow Guy talks about how, you know, let's all pray for Trump and all that crap.
Oh,
it drives
God.
Me nuts on a good day.
Uh-huh.
But this was not a good day. So, yeah. And then Chris Jansing chimed in, and I don't usually quote her, but
no.
she said, nearly 10 minutes of today's coronavirus briefing was taken by six company executives who alternately gave shout-outs to their own products, called for a return to the Bible, and praised Trump's leadership.
Oh, my God.
That's what we have.
Yeah.
That's the Trump ego briefing.
Right. And then, you know, Chris Hayes actually did a segment on why do the networks carry this crap? Don
yes.
Lemon on CNN went off on it, but yet the networks continue to carry it.
Oh, I've been on a campaign, and I get a lot of activity on Twitter because I campaign about this every time
yep.
he's on.
Yep.
And then they said that they weren't going to do it. MSNBC, I think it was, and CNN said, you know, we're thinking about like not carrying this live. And everyone's going, yay. Well, then CNN and MSNBC carried it live.
Yep.
And then CNN started defending themselves
yeah.
and saying, you know, we really think we should.
Yep.
Because we should be able to see what he's saying and counter it. Well, the problem is you're not countering it
in real time. Right. So he's lying and he's putting out all this shit. I mean, he went on and on again yesterday about the masks going out the back door, that those nurses and doctors must be
yeah.
stealing them. What the fuck? They should have cut away. Actually, they should have cut away at the moment he started bad-mouthing the media again. That's
well,
when they
CNN
all should have gotten
away.
Up and left.
CNN cut away during Pillow Guy.
Oh, did
and
they?
And then came back
oh.
when Trump started speaking again. So I was like going, yay, CNN! And then, nope, they came back. And here's my last tweet, so
okay.
thank you for letting me get through these.
Sure.
Somebody named Stone Cold 2050, just an average American, he said,
uh-huh.
Said Hobby Lobby chose to close its stores yesterday. Today it fired people by email.
Oh,
people
God.
Lost their insurance. They offered no severance. They said, it's in the hands of God. Remember that. And
oh,
then he said,
my God.
Always hashtag boycott Hobby Lobby.
No shit.
Amen.
No shit. Unbelievable. That's disgusting.
Awful.
That's just
yeah.
really disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I purposely didn't add a lot of tweets because I knew we were having our special guest. So
okay.
I am going to now
yes.
stop talking.
Okay.
And let's go for it.
All right.
And
hopefully this
I?
Is going to work.
I?
Yes. Because I'm going to add this other person into our chat, and hopefully this works. So listeners, people who've listened to this program for any long period of time will probably remember it was a few years ago. We used to do another segment. It was Laffy and myself and another friend of ours who her name is Amy Simon, and the three of us together were known. Oh, I gotta change this thing. Well, we actually had our own little intro. So let me hit that now. This is so professional. See, this is when I really could use a producer. But take it away, whoever is running the controls. Oh, that's me.
Amy Simon of Cheese History. Got a laugh out of the carnival and into radio or not. And Nicole Sandler.
Hello, goddesses.
The Nicole Sandler Show on RadioOrNot.com combined the forces of Amy, Laffy, and Nicole to bring to you the Glibberal Goddesses.
Yeah, so you could tell how old this was because Laffy was still running the political carnival. My show was still on RadioOrNot.com. And if you go to RadioOrNot.com, it'll bring you to NicoleSandler.com. And Amy Simon, well, Amy was with us weekly. She's still doing Cheese History and other stuff. Amy, you there?
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
Amy! Hi!
So it's a gathering of the Glibberal Goddesses again, because, you know, in this time of social distancing, it's really important that we reach out and talk to some friends that maybe we don't talk to enough, Amy. And Amy called me the other day. Hey, I was not the proactive one here. Amy called me. She picked up the phone, something I don't ever do. So it was great to hear from
either.
Amy. I know. So, but now when we're all shut-ins, I mean, it's a good thing to do and check on our friends because many of us are home alone. Amy, how you doing out there?
You know, my stock answer is I'm fine and miserable.
Yeah. Oh. And you, yeah. And you're dealing with something. I mean, you're in Los Angeles, Amy Simon, and your daughter got married last year. And is now pregnant.
It'll be 2 years in May.
Oh, my God. That's too fast. Yeah. And now she's pregnant. And oh, my God. So it's a wonderful thing. But it's a fucking scary thing, too, right? To be pregnant right now.
Yeah, who wants to be pregnant now? Oy.
And she's in England, so you can't even be with her.
Yeah, it's really tough, you know. But she's not due until August. And I do want to mention that she was born in March, Women's History Month,
yes.
Which is ironic.
Yes.
But, you know, I really feel for the women who are delivering now. I mean,
this is
horrifying to want to have to go into a hospital now and deliver.
Oh, couldn't even imagine. I would seriously think about, you know, getting a midwife and doing it at home. But then, what if there were complications, right?
And there's a lot of talk about restricting anybody coming into the delivery
room.
I mean, my Rose called me and said she went for her 20-week scan last Monday. Touch wood, everything is perfect. But her husband was not allowed to go in with her. And she was like, oh, what if something was bad news and I was on my own?
Oh,
you know,
my God.
I understand that they are making some adjustments now for husbands and partners that they can come into the delivery room in New York. I'm not completely on top of it, but, you know, it's just changing every minute. But, boy, what a situation.
Right. But the fact that she's over there and you're over here, and I mean, that's got to be hard, too.
It's horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't get me started.
I know.
I purposely didn't ask you about that when we talked last night. Did you know that?
Well, yeah, it's really tough for all families that are separated. You know, I try to have some perspective and, you know, support, which is just misery loves company, actually. But, you know, everybody's separated from their loved ones.
Yeah.
And, it sucks. She's 8,000 miles away. And FaceTime is good, but, yeah.
No, you can't reach
out
and
touch. But the good news is she's healthy. And the baby's healthy.
Yeah. And she has a great husband. And, you know, my ex-husband is English, and she married an Englishman. That's why she's over there. And she's known her English family for her whole life. So it gives me some solace that she has, you know, great support over there. But, you know.
Yeah. No, you're not there. That sucks. So, Amy, you brought up the fact. Look, today is March 31st. So we made it under the wire. It's still Women's History Month. And today happens to be Equal Pay Day. Today is the day that, okay, so everybody worked in 2019, men and women, right? And at the end of the year, men got paid what they got paid. That was the men's salary for the year 2019. For women, to be paid on an equal basis, they had to work until today to equal the salary the men made in 2019. That's Equal Pay Day.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, I remember, and Nicole, we go back, you know, many, many years, but when I wrote my first play, Cheerios in My Underwear, which was inspired by motherhood because I was a stay-at-home mom and went from this, you know, well-paid, full-time, independent career woman to a nurture-shocked, sleep-deprived, hormonally challenged stay-at-home mom. My whole life changed, but that's what inspired all of my playwriting. And when I would do my play, I always had a giant poster of something called salary.com. And this was 20 years ago. You know, my Rosie is now 7, and I've been, you know, performing for a long time. And it would list all the different jobs that stay-at-home moms, and even stay-at-home dads, a stay-at-home parent, but mostly it's women. All the jobs that stay-at-home moms have, from, you know, caregiving, nursing, gift buying, house cleaning, transportation, cook, chef, pharmacy, you know, it literally listed it with, you know, the relevant actual pay grade. And, you know, I should have been making $100,000.
Sure. Of course.
It's not really funny, though, because it's actually true.
Yep.
You know, equal pay day is a joke almost.
Yes. Yeah. No, it is. Well, it is. I just thought I had to mention it. And so they say that it's gotten better, because it used to be that back women made 82% of what men made in 2018, compared with 60.5% in 1969. But
and it's even worse for women of color.
Oh, my God.
Way worse.
Latina women. Their equal pay day is November 2nd. They make 54 cents to the dollar. Native American women.
I'm sorry, you seem to, but indigenous.
Yes, I've got it right here.
That society is the worst.
Native American women, their equal pay day is October 1st, earning 57 cents to the male dollar.
Yep.
Black women, August 13th, 62 cents. And Asian American and Pacific Islander women, they do better than women as a whole. Their equal pay day for 2020 was February 11th, earning allegedly 92 cents to the dollar.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Who knew?
You little statistician.
Who knew?
Wow.
Yeah. So what are you doing? Both of you guys, I mean, you're both in California. Luckily, I mean, I have a pool. I got out in the pool yesterday with my dog, posted videos online. My coworker, Jackson, decided we needed some sunshine and exercise. What are you guys doing to occupy your time? Laffy, what are you doing?
Go ahead, Laffy.
Nothing. I'm doing my Twitter thing, because that's what I do anyway. And then basically my outings are walking Hammy and or taking him to the park. And I'm so nervous about this, you guys.
What?
I've invested in a clipper.
You did what? A clipper.
Clippers, because I can't get him groomed.
Right.
And so I've always trimmed his face. So that's not a big deal. I mean, I'm really good. I cut my own hair. You know, I'm good with this stuff, but I've never used a clipper on anything or anybody. I've read a lot about it. It's basically just like using a razor, you know, like an electric
shaver.
Razor,
right.
But I don't want to.
You'll be fine. I used to shave Pooh all the time. Pooh Bear, my late sweet doggy. She had long hair. She was a Chow Golden Retriever mix, and so she had a lot of fur.
Oh boy,
and she
shedded
everywhere, and I was constantly shaving her down. She looked like a drowned rat when I shaved her, but you know, it was better that way. So you'll get the.
Is it hard to do?
Nah, it's just. It gets tedious after a while because it takes a while. But, yeah.
That's what I figured. Yeah. And plus holding him still enough, you know, he's really energetic.
Uh-huh.
He's still a puppy. He's still only 2 years old.
Yeah, he's still a puppy.
So, I mean, he's pretty good. If we keep feeding him little tidbits, he'll wait for the next one. So we can do this. It's just that I'm nervous. So that's basically it. My world revolves around. And Mr. Laffy is working at home. He's got his edit bay now at home for Naked and Afraid. And then the boys come over and we go in the backyard and stay very far apart. And so we're out in the open air and we never get close to each other. So that's basically it. What else is there to do?
That's good. Amy, what are you doing?
Well, I have a full-time job.
Thank
you,
yep.
Goddess, God, or who's ever in charge of that stuff. And I'm very grateful for it because it allows me to have a creative life and live here in Los Angeles. I work for a nonprofit, and we are very busy. I'm very busy. I've been working from home for 3 weeks now. I have a laptop that my company gave me, and I'm calling mostly seniors in the community and reaching out and offering, you know, helplines and community social service, you know, connection. And So I'm very busy, and, you know, I'm accountable. So I work, you know, I start at 8:30 in the morning and I stop at 5:30 and I break for lunch, which is what I'm on right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very grateful for it. But it's heartwarming, heartbreaking, and I'm proud to do the work. I feel like I'm being of service, and it's keeping me occupied. Although before I had a full-time job, I was, you know, very self-disciplined, and I, you know, that's how I ended up writing my plays and doing mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of industrious in that way. But I'm very busy, and I'm exhausted. It's very draining, and I make myself put on my sneakers at 5:30 and go walk around the neighborhood and try
to
avoid getting close to people.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of that, Amy, when we went to the park with Hammy yesterday, there was a basketball game going on
really?
With some young guys.
They're not supposed to be
everybody?
Doing
when
that.
When I heard you talking about the ship, the Mercy, or the Comfort that came into the harbor of New York, and people, you know, and then there's the pastor in Florida who had a congregational
who was arrested,
you know,
thankfully.
Virus attack with everybody, and he's in jail. I mean, what's it going to take?
And you know what? There's another one, another pastor that said, I don't care. I'm going to find the tweet if you guys want to talk for a second, and I will try to find it because this is insane.
Yeah, well, the pastor in Florida
for a minute
was arrested.
Here, I got it. I found it. Okay, so this guy, it's a video, but he's right-wing evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth, a close friend of Rodney Howard Brown, says he intends to hold a large Woodstock-like Christian gathering in defiance of stay-at-home orders.
Yeah, I saw that. Good. I hope it's really crowded, and I hope they're packed in really, really tight. And you know what? Once they go in, they should just keep them there.
That's what everyone's been telling me.
Yeah, they should just keep them there. You want to go? Go. Have fun. Stay. This is your own. This is your new community. Enjoy each other while you can.
But what is wrong? Like these kids, like, you know, we were saying, and then the people watching the ship come in. These are people wearing masks. So it's not like they weren't aware.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously cared enough to put on a mask. Then you take a picture of this, and I did post the picture. It's a huge crowd of people jammed together watching the ship come in.
Unbelievable.
And they're clustered. It's not even like they're standing feet apart. They're clustered.
Unreal.
Well, you know, when you read that, you know, Trump's approval ratings are, they should be zero. So who can understand what's going on?
The good news is, though, that he, for a crisis president, his rating is about 49 or 50. And that's about as low as you could possibly get for a crisis president. And one of the pollsters said it can only go down from here. We'll see if that's true. But it's in other words, yes, it's ridiculously high for him. But if you put it into context, most crisis presidents are between 76 and 90.
Right. Well, because something bad happens and people want to turn to their president. But I don't know how anybody can listen to things that come out of this man's mouth and say, what a great leader. Are you kidding me? Are you
not
fucking kidding me? What he's done
talks about his poll ratings during his ego briefing.
And his hair. Oh my God. Okay. I've got this little clip from yesterday. Just because, so bear with me. It's all of like 20 seconds, but so if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it. He's talking about life and death. People are dying. And this is what Trump gets caught up with here.
Will be, and when you look, so they're going up. I think we're going to be adding some more beds, which will be completed today. And we've opened up, whoops, there goes our box. And my hair's blowing around, and it's mine. The one thing you can't get away with, if it's not yours, you got a problem, if you're president.
Wait a minute. So did you hear that? So what he said is, one thing you can't get away with if you're president is, it's mine. So you can't get away with fake hair if you're the president, but you can get away with the kind of shit he pulls?
Murder?
Yeah.
No, he is. He's killing people.
Yeah,
he literally is. Yeah.
There's an article that somebody sent me, that the Boston Globe, you know, I think the title of it is Blood on His Hands or something.
Yep.
And, you know,
yep.
It just lays it out. It's just so. And I had to mention how he refers to the woman who's the governor of Michigan.
As that woman.
As that woman. Because, you know, she's called out the federal government. And nicely, she could have been much, you know, harsher about it. And, you know, he's holding back supplies. I mean, just, I don't know.
It's horrible. And the way he, I'm sorry, the way he's been treating the press, Yamiche Alcindor, the last two days in a row. And then he's like, you people, really now? How does he, yeah. Oh my God, you know, you look at all these things he does on a daily basis and just think if Barack Obama had done one of them, the outrage, the, oh my God, the heads would be exploding left and right. And he does 20 of them in a day. I know he wore a tan suit and that was a scandal for a month. What the hell?
Yeah, well, this has been going on for over 3 years. You'd think we'd get used to it, but you know, the shock and awe and appall just doesn't seem to go anywhere.
Now, I know, look, this hurts me to say, because, and we are so out of the realm of politics at the moment. However, we are still, you know, 6 months away from a presidential election. And although the Democrats don't yet have a nominee officially, they've, you know, coronated Joe Biden. Hello, history repeats itself. I'm here to say, Democratic Party, don't do this. It's not too late. He has not won the nomination yet. And look, as much as I love Bernie Sanders, I understand that you have damaged, but you, I'm talking to the Democratic Party. I'm not talking to listeners here. You, the party, has damaged him so much that you're right. He probably can't be the nominee, but neither can Joe Biden. So Joe Biden was on television yesterday afternoon.
Oh, God, yeah, I saw that.
Okay. Amy, did you by any chance happen to see this?
I don't think I did, no.
Okay, I'm going to play you a one-minute long clip. He was on, it was the middle of the day. It was, I think, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he's asked a very simple question. And it reminds me of the question that was asked of Trump. You know, what do you say to the people who are scared? And he's like, you idiot, how dare you? That's a nasty question. So you're thinking, okay, so now Joe Biden's being given this softball. What do you say to the people who are terrified right now? I want you to hear his answer. Here we go.
Okay.
It's words. Americans are terrified. What is your message to them?
My message is that the president has to move more rapidly. You know, we know from experience that speed matters. We know that you can't go too fast. It's about going too slow. And in order to avoid that, those very high numbers, we have to do at least several things. One, we have to depend on what the president's going to do right now.
What?
And first of all, he has to wait till the cases before anything happens. Look, the whole idea is, he's got to get in place things that we're shortages of.
What?
We're not testing enough people. We don't, our first responders, docs and nurses don't have the gloves, the masks. They don't have the equipment they need. We're short on ventilators. And as this spreads to other areas, which is likely to do, we don't have the capacity to surge the equipment that they need. We have to, he has to use the Defense Production Act much more aggressively, including not just the ventilators, but getting gloves, masks, shields, gowns.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
What?
How not comforting. How not comforting.
God.
I mean, you got to admit that Cuomo, at least, you know, you feel better because he's laying it out there and telling you it will end eventually. But, wow, that was bad.
That was
you know,
so
bad. The other day I posted a column by Will Bunch. I don't know if you saw it, Nicole.
Yeah.
But he was talking about Biden and how he needs to do some things
he
that
needs
will
to
help
go
him
away.
Win,
he needs to go away. He needs to back out gracefully and say, you know what? I thought I could do this, but my mental decline is too much. I'm too old for this. I'm sorry. We need to rethink this.
Will was intimating that there were things that were not even intimating. He was saying things were wrong, but here's what you can do, Joe Biden, to make it better. You've got to do this. You've got to do this, Joe Biden, that kind of
thing.
What? You know, like,
the what? What can he possibly do?
You know,
the only thing he can do is bow out gracefully, because
win. Right. That's not what I'm setting up, though. But he didn't say that in the column. He was saying, you know, it would be nice if Bernie could, you know, because his ideas are so good, it would be great if Bernie were the nominee, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So now Joe Biden has been looking bewildered and the things you're saying. And then he said, you know, maybe he could do things like choose a VP, get a team together. In other words, appear stronger, appear. So I posted this, right? I posted a whole thread on it.
Right.
I always do threads for my bunch.
Right.
And I got so many people who were upset with this. They were telling me, he's not bewildered. And I said, well, yeah, he comes off a little bewildered, you know, like, and also just even the optics of him coming
horrible.
From a basement with kind of a dark look to the screen and they were going, what optics? What are you talking about?
Everything
so,
about
so
it.
So substance doesn't matter? I said, no, because
there is no substance. There is no, did you hear what he said? If you read a transcript of that, you'd be there. He didn't say anything. It was word salad.
This was before that. This was based on his other, remember the interviews he did from his basement?
Yeah.
And,
horrible.
And I,
all
and,
of
and when
them.
He did have, he actually did have a few things of substance to say in those interviews. But I said, people don't pay attention to substance when they're looking at a man who appears weak, who doesn't appear to know how have any fight in him, and who visually doesn't look bright and strong and tough and let's go get him. And,
he's
you know,
got nothing.
And they were getting so upset with me. And I said, look, I'm stating fact. I'm not even opining. This is just the facts. He needs to do this. He needs to do that.
Yeah, but you know what? There's more. Let me just say this.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
And I hit on it very briefly on Friday. But there's a new allegation against Joe Biden, and it's pretty damn
I talked about
credible.
That too.
And her name is Tara Reid, not the actress, but a woman who was on Joe Biden's staff back in the early 90s. And she's alleging that he digitally raped her, that he pushed her up against a wall and had his finger up her skirt and up her, And she's tried for the last few years through the Time's Up program, through the National Women's Law Center, through all the proper channels to get her story heard, and nobody would take her side. Nobody would deal with her. Why? Anita Dunn, who is works with Joe Biden, is one of the Time's Up, you know, board members or some bullshit like that. She couldn't get traction anywhere, and she finally went on the air with Katie Halper and Matt Taibbi, and told her story. And she went on with Crystal Ball and told her story. And now, the networks are ignoring it. The party is ignoring it. And Joe Biden is ignoring it. Joe Biden, the man who said in the Kavanaugh hearings of what was her name? And I'm drawing a blank on her name right now.
Christine Blasey Ford.
You always have to believe the woman. Well,
right. And I brought that up. That was part of the article. And the article was saying that of Will Bunch was saying there should be a full investigation to either clear him or not. But the fact is, it needs to be dealt with. In other words, what Will was doing on my point, and this fits right in, is what is. This is what's happening. These are facts. She went on the air and she made an accusation.
That's
fact.
Right.
Deal with it. Fact.
And
otherwise,
and
hang
the
over
allegations
you.
Are much worse than the allegations against Al Franken, and the whole party went, get him out of here. He's got to resign. But they're silent on Joe Biden. Excuse me. This is not okay.
Right. And it must. And if it's not dealt with, and again, I'm not even opining on this right now,
right.
on the actual
just saying,
accusation.
Hear her out. This is a woman who's made a credible allegation. She worked with him. It's not some fly-by-night person out of left field. She's somebody who was on his staff, who made this allegation, who told two people at the time in the early 90s when this happened. And the Democratic Party, the corporate media, and Joe Biden himself are all ignoring her.
Right. And the point I was then following up with, and I agree with all that, the point I was following up with is, if you don't deal with this right now, it will be dealt with for you by the Trump people who are really good at that.
Of course it will. Amy, you hadn't heard this before?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Amy, had you not heard this before?
No, I have not heard it, and I'm just, like, shocked.
Yeah, because the media is ignoring it. The Democratic Party is ignoring it because they think if you ignore a problem, it'll go away. I'm here to tell you, you ignore a problem, it doesn't go away. It festers. It gets worse and worse. And
until it explodes at the wrong time.
Yes.
If he would deal with it now, this, in other words, he has a bunch of challenges. This is the point I'm making very badly and kind of in, you know, slapdashy or whatever it's called. But he has a bunch of challenges that people keep pointing out. Whether you agree with him or not, I don't care. That's not the point right now. He has to deal with these challenges up front right now because he has the time to do that right now.
That's right.
Once he, if he doesn't deal with, you know, he sounds a little, unsure of himself. He's not coming off as a strong figure.
Well, he's not.
And he's got these accusations. If you don't deal with all of that up front right now, it will be dealt with for you by the Trump campaign.
Yes. And you know it will. First of all, they haven't let up on the Hunter Biden stuff, which I think is bullshit, although it shows really poor judgment, both on Hunter Biden's part and Joe Biden's part. Hunter Biden never should have taken this job that he wasn't qualified for. He had no business in that, except the fact that his father was the vice president. They're ignoring that too. You know that the Trump people are not going to let that go. But then this,
of course not.
The fact that they're ignoring it, that the party is ignoring it after the whole year of the woman thing and time's up and Me Too and everything else, really? They're going to be silent on this now?
That's exactly the problem. And once it's going to make the headlines 24/7 once the Trump campaign goes at it with both barrels.
Yep.
And that's how you get defeat. That's how the Democrats get defeated.
Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory every time.
Yes.
Every time.
Yes, absolutely. And plus messaging, you know, aside from Biden in general.
Mm-hmm.
Messaging.
Yeah.
Democratic messaging. They have all the right things on their side. They're so many good policy positions, so many good, equality, civil rights, voting rights, green energy, you name
it. Green New Deal, right.
We have so much going for us, and it's not messaged
out. Well, but then the other
there.
Part, you know, if you want to just talk policy, so Joe Biden in that interview yesterday when he did put some words together to make a coherent statement, what he said was he was asked, well, what do you think now with the coronavirus? Are you changing your opinion on Medicare for All? I said, oh, no, that wouldn't fix this.
Yes, that was another thing.
Excuse me?
That doesn't even make sense. I mean, all he has to do is say, well, you know what, maybe it could be something to talk about then, because Medicare for All has some really good things that I like about it. You know, just at least give an inch.
But he dismissed it. It's like, oh, that won't fix it. Bullshit. Tell that to all the people who are freaking out and won't go get tested because they say, okay, well, great, the test is free. But if I have it, the treatment is going to put me in the poorhouse because I don't have insurance.
I just got a tweet today from somebody in Canada who said that very thing. They said, up here, we don't have to worry about
it. Right.
We get treated. It doesn't cost us a thing. And somebody said, oh, so private care is illegal. And I said, no, private care up there is not illegal. And she said, no, private care up here is not illegal. But what it means is if you go into the hospital, you pay extra for a TV set.
You know, I saw something on a news show this morning. I don't know the name of the actor. He's some, you know, television actor that I'm not familiar with. But he was telling a story how he went into the emergency room because he had symptoms of the virus. But this was before they passed the stimulus or before we were told that we're not going to be held accountable for, you know, treatment or testing. And he went in, this was a few weeks ago, and they gave him a bill for $9,000.
Uh-huh.
And this is a guy that has plenty of money. And he went on, I think it was a CBS morning show with like Gayle King, and he showed the bill and talked about how he just went to the emergency room because he thought he had the virus, and they never even tested him. They didn't have the test, like all of it. And
but he got a $9,000 bill.
It's not surprising to us. We know
and
how
people
bad
are going to have bills, you know, upwards of $100,000 if you're unfortunate enough to get sick. This is criminal behavior.
Totally sidebar here. It's not a stimulus. It's a recovery or a relief package.
Yep.
Stimulus means you have something to work with.
That's
we don't have. We're doing the opposite here. We're trying to keep something afloat.
That's right. Yep. You're right. Yeah. Amy, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No, I was just, I'm thinking of you, Nicole, how you're always, you know, besides wonderful, talking about how our healthcare system, hospitals, and it should not be for profit.
No,
it should be
not be for profit.
And then this morning I was listening to Cuomo on his briefing. It went on for about an hour.
Yep.
And he
made
a reference about the capacity of beds in the New York hospitals. Mm-hmm. And he said this one thing that caught my eye. I wrote it down and he said, well, patients are revenue.
Oh, God. See, and that's the problem with Andrew Cuomo. And we are going to get into that tomorrow. Just so
I know. I heard you say that earlier. But, you know, it just hit me like really hard. Like, yeah, we've got to turn this, you know, we've got to turn this around and not make health care for profit. That's
healthcare
just the whole deal.
Should not be a for profit industry. Healthcare.
We shouldn't have to worry about paying for saving our lives.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Our lives are not about money. Our lives are about living and about breathing and about eating and about being with our families and about just living. And to have to worry about forking over your whole bank account, you're
and
selling
future.
Your house,
yep.
whatever, selling your car, so you can stay alive.
Yeah.
That's to quote
insanity.
Bernie Sanders, healthcare should be a basic human right, not a privilege, a right. There
he's
you go.
Right.
Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, Bernie. All right.
You do a good Bernie. Right. You do a good Donald Trump too, Nicole. You
thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm gonna be so proud of that one.
Yeah. I got a guy. I got a bit. I'll have to play it on tomorrow's show because we're out of time. A guy who does the best Trump ever.
He's so good.
He's so good. You saw him online?
Yes.
So good. I'll tell you what. Stick around after the show ends because we got to end for Progressive Voices. But we'll do a little bonus for everyone who sticks around afterwards. So stay tuned. We'll play it for the people hanging out afterwards. Gotta Laugh. Find her at Gotta Laugh on Twitter. And Amy Simon. Find her at sheshistory.com. Amy, any show? Well, no show's coming up. Everything's canceled
so
right now.
I did have a bunch of shows scheduled for March. I was supposed to have one on Sunday afternoon here in L.A. And, yeah, they all got canceled. But I'm supposed to do something in July. And I will reschedule. And I'll let everybody know when it happens.
Right. Okay. Oh, by the way. Okay. We're in overtime now. Chris Cuomo. Not Andrew Cuomo, but Chris Cuomo.
I know.
Tested positive.
Yeah.
For coronavirus.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And he'll be apparently broadcasting tonight from his basement where he's sick. I don't know. That's really
yes,
going
that's
above
what
and
he
beyond.
Said. He's keeping right. away from his family.
Yeah, so,
yeah,
okay,
terrible.
So that's going to happen.
That's
all right,
terrible.
So this is the guy, again, I don't have his name. I will post this along with the Stay the Fuck at Home song on the blog at Nicole Sandler. It'll be at NicoleSandler.com/3-31-20. That's the format, how I always post them. NicoleSandler.com/followed by the date with the hyphens in the middle. All right, so this is a guy, again, I'll have his name on the blog. I don't have it right now. But he has this video up on YouTube, and he does the best Trump impersonation ever, ever. So here it is. Take it away.
250 years ago, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose full name, you know, he was Jewish, so his full name might have been like Christowitz, but God rose him from the dead on a holiday we now call Easter. Not a lot of people know that, but it's called Easter. It's when Jesus and the two Corinthians met the Easter Bunny and came back from the dead. So, you know, it's a beautiful story. Very important for the Christians like me. And I have decided, I'm announcing today, we are going to bring back the economy on Easter Sunday. Because God, who, to be honest, is, you know, he's a good God. He's done some strong things. Some, let's be honest, his record is, like, not so great, though. He brought one guy back on Easter Sunday. And it was his son, so it was kind of, like, biased. But we're going to bring back the entire economy on Easter Sunday. And at that point, I think basically I'm better than God. So when we do it, we're going to do it toughly. We're going to do it with great compassion, great strength, tremendous strength, and also toughness. Easter Sunday, we're going to put it on pay-per-view. God versus Trump. Who brings back more people on Easter Sunday? We're doing it. I'm going to fire Fauci probably on Good Friday and they call it Great Friday for Trump. And that's it. So let's do it. Let's get perfect health. Let's get back to work. Jesus Christ, not as good as Trump.
That's not actually Donald Trump.
Whoops. No, that was, hold on.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that, oh, I got the wrong picture here. No, that was this guy on Twitter. I mean, on YouTube. I got to find his name because this.
Oh, yeah.
It's at Okay,
250 years ago.
Hold on, shush. Okay. J. L. Cauvin, C-A-U-V-I-N is his name. At letter J. Did he?
He should be.
Oh, he needs to be. Yeah, he's certainly better than Alec Baldwin. J. L. Cauvin, C-A-U-V-I-N is his name. And again, I'll post that video on the blog, but you can find it, I'm sure, at...
I saw somebody put it on my Facebook page, but I didn't get to see it.
Oh, my God. How is terrible.
Yeah, great.
All right. So, Amy, so everything, all the shows are on hold now. Obviously, you had some booked for Women's History Month, but everything, nothing, yeah. We don't know anything right now.
Well, I have something in July here in Los Angeles. It's a reading of the full cast version that I've been working on, and I haven't heard that that's canceled yet. That's at, it's called LA Made. It's a free library service at a beautiful Mark Taper auditorium at the downtown library, and so far it hasn't been pulled, so I'm crossing my fingers. I'm going to do like a virtual rehearsal in a few weeks with my theater company. So I'm keeping going.
Awesome.
And we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, Amy Simon, again, everyone can find her. You know, you don't really do the Twitter thing. Find Amy Simon on Facebook and certainly at sheshistory.com. There's all kinds of fabulous female facts over there.
Yeah, and thank you.
And with that, ladies, you know, go do the social distancing. And if you wanna test, anyone can get a test. We've got them everywhere. They're the best, they're better than anyone, and there's more than any other country. Just so you know. We got them all.
Per capita.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Per capita. I don't do per capita.
He doesn't know what that means.
I don't do per capita. Yeah. Fucking asshole.
Oh, it's so pathetic.
Ugh. Okay.
Well, I love you, ladies. It was wonderful getting back together.
Yes,
we'll do it again next week. And
liberal goddesses.
Yay! All right.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you for joining us, Amy. Thank you for listening, everybody. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, I did start working on that Patreon page. I'm working on it. I always think very big, aspirational. It's aspirational. So I have big plans for something to do with it. So we'll see. Hopefully I can premiere it sometime this week. All right. On that note, thank you. Got a laugh. Thank you, Amy Simon.
Thank you.
Thank you, our wonderful listeners. We'll be back tomorrow. And tomorrow I will be speaking with Ross Barkin, who's got a piece in The Nation right now about why Andrew Cuomo is not the hero to be drafted to run against Donald Trump in 2020. So we'll go there tomorrow. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Bye. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Bye.